Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 12 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana, and Brian Stark of the Andersons. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Ellen Dearden, let's begin with you. What's on your list of items that we should discuss for the day?
I think we need to discuss the strength of the dollar. That has certainly been a factor here. And with all the trade issues being discussed, a strong dollar isn't going to play into better exports for the U.S. on any of these commodities that we produce.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
I'd like to talk about corn today and the good report we had with excellent corn demand and a tightening balance sheet in corn in the U.S. and worldwide.
And Brian Stark of the Andersons.
I'd like to focus in on the bean table specifically from the USDA report and specifically the most surprising number, which is the 250 million bushel decrease in bean exports for the 18-19 crop year.
Well, let's start there because the United States Department of Agriculture told us ahead of time it would include the tariffs in today's USDA report. That would be for Thursday, the July numbers. And in fact, it didn't. It dropped exports by 250 million bushels. However, total usage change was just 205. And ending stocks for 2018-19 were up 195 million bushels. They finish up now, according to USDA, at 580 million. That was a surprising number for you. Why was that the case?
I think we knew ahead of time, as you alluded to, that the government was going to take into account the Chinese tariff and the trade issues that have come about here in the last week with their forecasted demand for the 18-19 year. I don't think anyone, though, felt that the magnitude of the decrease in soybean export projections was going to be to the tune of 250 million bushels. And we find it hard to believe that that's going to be the case, given the fact that there's clearly chair shuffling going on as Chinese cancels exports here just this week, being replaced by other countries such as Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates taking up some of that demand. And I think to that point, when South America can't supply Chinese's annual soybean demand, they're still going to have to come to the U.S. And the only outlet for a cut like that would be if the Chinese crush industry is forced by the government to look for alternatives and or cut their own internal protein demand.
Ellen Dearden, if I recall correctly, they have been asked by their government to do just that, haven't they?
They sure have, and the alternative protein sources would be probably rapeseed and or sunflowers, both of which are available from the European community, but also from Canada. I think putting that out suggests that that could make up some of this. But USDA on the report today dropped the U.S. bean export, if you looked in tons, 6.8 metric tons, and Brazil was only going to pick up just a little over two of that. So that leaves about 4 million metric tons of some alternate protein source, and I don't think they can do it with rapeseed or sunflowers, even the combination of the two.
Chuck Shelby, are there other ways that U.S. soybeans might arrive on Chinese shores?
Well, I think part of the process of the Chinese might be to see how these negotiations go. And then if we have made a low, they would be, you know, at ideal time for them to buy. But in between here and there, they can go through different sources and boats can get loaded in different names. So right now, I would say they're comfortable in what they have, but going forward, I think they have two reasons to look back to the United States. As Ellen mentioned, one would be price and the availability. So right now, I think it's just a game. I was surprised USDA dropped it as much as they did on the exports to China, but they have their ways to get by until this process maybe works out and maybe an arrangement or deal can be made on this tariff war.
Alan Dearden, when you look at the average price for soybeans in the 18-19 growing season, it's 9.25 now. That's 75 cents lower than it was just a month ago. However, I suppose given where the bottom end of the range is, which is $8, 9.25 doesn't sound horribly bad.
No, it doesn't. But keep in mind that early on, those price projections are pretty darn wide, and they narrow as time goes by. But I don't know if USDA's putting out kind of a thread of hope for producers, or I'm not sure where that number's coming from.
Hey, Brian, do you think that number, that midpoint at 9.25, does that make sense to you given the supply side and the demand side that we saw on the tables from USDA?
I think it does today. If you look at the tables at face value, I think ultimately time will tell, as Ellen said, as that range narrows as we know more about demand. And I think personally that the export number will eventually climb as we get well into the 18-19 demand cycle. So for now, I think it's a fair price. I think we've seen things stabilize with some bearish information given by the government today for beans closing up fractionally to a penny higher. So maybe we're going to stabilize and give a potential for us to short cover here for a bit, and the producer has some time to wait it out and see if we can't get some higher prices here soon.
Chuck Shelby, as a farmer, Secretary Sonny Perdue has said that the U.S. government will make good to U.S. farmers on any damage that might be done based on the tariff. Do you think the USDA today, with the number that Brian Stark calls fairly surprising, the drop of 250 million bushels in exports, and a change in ending stocks of 195, so the 195 change in ending stocks, I suppose, would be maybe the measure by which the USDA would say this is the damage that has been done. Do you think is that a fair assessment of what I see in the supply and demand report, or I may be reading more into it than I should?
Well, when they made such a dramatic drop, I believe that is a signal that they are anticipating that kind of a loss. And as he has stated, they needed to quantify that number. So I think that was a good number. I think you could also maybe interpret the 75-cent drop in the bean average price that they projected today as potentially what they may consider in one method or another that they would help producers on the bean side of the equation anyway.
So today's report, a very important report, not only for the price of beans going forward, but potentially for farmers as it relates to what the U.S. government may believe the damages could be from the tariffs as they've been are going into place, at least at this point. And that would not include the $200 billion that would come maybe on August 31st and another, $16 billion, sometime in mid-July. So lots of numbers to have to deal with there. You said you were interested in the corn numbers as well, Chuck. Tell me a little bit about those and why you found interest in them.
Well, we ended up reducing the carryout on corn, and a lot in the trade had thought that number was going up. USDA also incorporated additional planted acres. They boosted our exports, and so at the end of the day, we were down on carryout a little bit. Going forward, though, I think we have to consider the possibility in the August report that the yield would go up, and if that happens in the August report, then it might neutralize a lot of the good that happened today. Hopefully today, being a positive report, we can get some the fund money to short cover and get a pre-harvest rally going in corn that I think a lot of producers have old crop left, and maybe get some new crop sales made in areas that have a very excellent crop coming going forward.
Alan Dearden, I think the average trade guess was about 1.7 billion bushels for the 2018-19 carryout. 1.55, down 25 million from last month, seems like a good, really good number, as Chuck has alluded to.
Yeah, I think it did. And technically, on Thursday, we had a key reversal up in the corn. Didn't close right at the high, but we had a good-looking day on the charts today, maybe to stop the bleeding. I think you need to keep in mind that it was a bit with the July Watsky report a year ago that we made the December 17 corn high. So we got the WASDE report on Thursday, and December 18 corn made a new contract low. So it's kind of an interesting anniversary date, but I think that USDA is going to continue to see some tighter numbers. But I agree with Chuck. It seems a matter of time before these yields inch up higher.
Brian Stark, your assessment of the corn supply and demand tables?
I think Chuck and Ellen have kind of hit the nail on the head. I think the reason we kind of faded the rally, or the trade faded the rally in corn today, was based on the expectation that they're most likely trading a yield that's closer to 177 today than 174, which puts your carryout back in that 17 to 18 range, which is your average trade guess. So I think people expect the demand to change. The surprising factor for me was we took old crop exports up 100 million, which was a pleasant surprise. We knew that there was potentially low on the new crop side of the equation with issues that the Black Sea region, specifically the Ukraine, has been having with their corn crop, as well as the downgrade in Brazil's safrinha crop. So there's expectation of increased export demand, and the demand base looks to be growing. So I think obviously moving forward, it'll be interesting to see where the yield takes us. I think ultimately, though, we're in a overall supply declining environment in corn. And so that tells me, as we lead into maybe not short-term seeing the rallies we hope for going into the 2019 crop year, the market's going to have a lot to do to try and buy in corn acres.
Okay, so Chuck, I want to go through some of these supply and demand figures. As Brian told us, the ending stocks for 2017-18 down 75 million. He actually told us the exports were up 100 million, but that's where we ended up with, was down 75 million bushels. You roll that into the acreage report for this year, which was up 190 million bushels for the 2018-19. Total supply was up about 115 million for the year. And then feed and residual number, up 75 million bushels for the 2018-19 year. You think that can happen?
I do, Todd. Over the last several years, we've always felt that they've underestimated the feed demand. We do have record number of hogs out there. We've got a big cattle herd out there, big cattle on feed. So I can see that happening. I think producers of livestock like to feed corn. The price has certainly come down to make that attractive. So I would agree with that number on feed usage going up.
The ethanol number was actually down 50 million ethanol at 5.625. Does that make sense to you, Ellen Dearden?
No, it really doesn't. The ethanol margins are not the big ones that were around in the spring, but they're certainly holding together. So I would anticipate that ethanol number won't come down much.
And they have the exports up 125 million bushels for the 18-19 year. Brian, is that number good?
I think it is, and I could argue that maybe another 150 to 200 million could be added based on the reasons I talked about earlier with world crops being down and potentially the U.S. seeing a more stronger export demand base in the 18-19 year for corn.
Okay, so finally, the average market price down a dime for the 2018-19 crop year, ranging from $3.30 to $4.30, and the stocks-to-use ratio at 10.5%, with a 1.552 billion bushel carryout. Does the average cash price, Chuck, just seem to you like it's low?
It does, and it's kind of questionable when you look back at last year. The comment was made we were, 40 cents higher, and the carryout was over $2 billion by a large amount compared to where we are today. So I question that number, but maybe that's a fallout from the bean situation with the bean tariff. And I question that, but part of that may come again as they go forward if we raise the yield 178 or somewhere as high as 180. You certainly could change that bottom line number.
I think I'd like to ask each of you that same question. Does the price that USDA is using makes sense with the 1.552 billion bushel carryout. Brian Stark, I'll start with you there.
I agree with Chuck. I think it's too low. I think it may be by 40 to 50 cents, but I think he also mentioned it's clearly, at least for me, tied to the fallout in tariffs with soybeans. I mean, today, fundamentally, we've experienced some heat through the region, even though crop conditions are excellent. And normally around this time of the year, when you have a heat ridge coming into the belt, you're seeing weather premium put in the market, but we've just not seen any interest from the funds of doing that. It's all been outside macro political influence controlling the trade. So I think it's influenced the price projections, and time will tell if those come up or if the yield starts to rise enough to take us back to a carryout that was similar to last year, which I still think is going to be tough to do.
Ellen Dearden, do you agree with these two that there needs to be maybe 40 cents more on the average cash price?
Oh, I would think that would be the case. But the overall factor is really that all the news that's out there, even if it's not terribly bearish, ends up by somebody having a bearish spin. And so there's no shreds of want to trade long side out there. It's all pound it down. And at some point in time, that thing's going to bob back up. But at this stage of the game, the market is just so bearish, just pervasive bearish every day. You come in, there's maybe some good things you can say, but the market doesn't believe that there's a good spin on it.
You mentioned that this week we made a new life of contract low in the December corn. Might that be where we stick at the low, and could we find the upside? It seems to me that once everybody turns to the point that they're bearish, that the market tends to turn around.
Well, it seems to me, you know, we don't make lows except on bearish news, and the way the market traded on Thursday with this key reversal up on the corn, I thought looked very promising. We need follow-through buying, and if we don't get some follow-through buying as we go into trade Friday and again on Monday, certainly the weather forecasts are looking like they could be a little cooler and have some better rain chances next week. If we can't see follow-through buying to the upside, then I'd say no, we don't have a low in.
Can I turn, Brian, to you and maybe bring in one more bearish item, which is the amount of carryout that is in the countryside, both, I think, in the elevator system and in the farmer's bins? How bearish will that be? And what will happen as we make our way through the month of July and August?
Well, I think it's certainly kept a lid on basis. I can speak from a cash perspective, and I think you look at the processors in East Central Illinois, and the coverage has been very good. They look out their back door. They have a crop that's potentially record-breaking today, and there's no need to stretch. So my message to farmers today is the fact that you got to be mindful of basis, especially the bushels you have to move during harvest. And any old crop that you have right now sitting in your bin, knowing that you've got a big crop looking at you, you probably need to focus on finding the best basis market to market that into, because it's limited on where people need to stretch today from an end-user perspective, given the amount of supply we're carrying forward and the fact that we've got a pretty big crop looking ahead of us here this fall.
Is there any reason at this point, and I'll stay with you, Brian, that producers, if their corn crop in the bin is in good shape, that they'd prefer to leave it there and to bring bushels to you for commercial storage potentially in the spring or in the fall?
I'm generally not in that bias. I usually coach our customers to turn over their supply. For one reason, you can save on some moisture discounts, some shrink that you might take straight out of the field. Plus, trying to focus on not betting on one crop versus the other. I think at some point in time, you just have to draw a line in the sand and move that in. So to me, the movement has to occur, and that's what I've been encouraging guys to do here in the next 45 to 60 days before they get in the field and try and recirculate that supply.
Chuck, as a producer with storage, what are your options in your opinion?
Well, I think it needs to be moved. You've certainly got the prospects for an excellent, if not record-breaking crop. So I think storage is going to be at a premium. So I like cleaning out old crop corn, making room for the new. I do think this crop will dry down. We're about 30 days ahead of normal. So if we continue with this kind of weather, Fortunately for producers, hopefully the crop will be dry in the field. But I think going forward, I'd rather save the space for new crop corn that isn't sold and get rid of the old. I think bushels that you're going to have extra, if we're going to have a bumper crop in this part of the world, we need to make some decisions on maybe trying to make some sales, get that crop moved, and then maybe look at some buybacks during harvest time.
So you're willing to make sales at this level and just on those extra bushels, I suppose?
If I know as a producer and I sit down and figure I'm going to have an excellent crop and I don't have enough room, if I make some sales now, I'm presuming at harvest that we're going to be a wider basis minimally. Therefore, I'd rather start the process of making some sales. And as I said, I'd be willing to re-own those bushels. But I could see that with a record-breaking crop in parts of Indiana and Illinois, we're going to have a lot of bushels out there, Todd, and I think most guys are going to have one of the best crops ever.
Any additional things that you'd like to add to this part of the conversation, Ellen Dearden?
I would like to add that harvest is going to be early this year, and a lot of folks are always interested in those early harvest premiums. Well, they're not going to be around this year from two standpoints. One is harvest is going to begin in the Decatur, Illinois area, probably the middle of August. And there is still a lot of old crop bushels to move into the system. There's no reasons to expect to see premiums early as people have been accustomed to seeing.
So, Brian Stark, I want to come back to you and talk a little bit more about something that Chuck Shelby said. So you and Chuck both say old crop corn, need to clear it out. Chuck's talking about new crop corn and says, you know what, I think the basis now is going to be better than it will be in the fall. I may as well sell some of those extra bushels that I think I'll have this fall into the system. Does this make sense to you?
To me, I think that the basis locally, I think the processor might be a little bit different and might have in some locations, because of the large board break, a push in the basis where it becomes a little more attractive to their fall bid. But if you look at a commercial elevator today, there's a decent amount of carry where today, just to give a simplification, you know, a 20 under the December bid into Champaign for new crop is equivalent to about 34 under the Dece in the spot market. So in coming to us or to an elevator today, you're actually selling at a cheaper basis than you would be in the fall. I don't disagree that the bushels need to be moved, though, because it's never good to hang on and try and bet long on both crops, especially when you've got a potentially record-breaking one moving forward. So at some point in time, you have to find the best market, which is typically the processor this time of the year, to lock in a basis when they've got, just as an example, there was some processors in Indiana that were pushing their basis a little bit over the July 4th holiday. And so you have to look for opportunities like that to sell into this on an opportunity to lock in a cash price and move forward. And then, as Chuck alluded to, if there's an opportunity to replace some cheap upside protection on those bushels later on, you can revisit that.
So let me re-ask this question to make sure that I'm clear. If I were looking forward today and I called you today, and I said, I want to make my cash sales for corn today, you'd give me a spot bid. And I think what Chuck is saying is, if I called you on September the 5th, that basis level might potentially be a lot wider. And that's what he's hoping to avoid. Do you think that will be the case?
To that point, yes, I can't think that could be the case, because typically speaking, if you're in a market where it's well supplied, then your new crop bid will potentially work wider than something that you can sell nearby. So to that point, yes, I agree with the big crop coming, with what he said, that you could be looking at a wider basis, or at least comparable to what you're selling today, given that spread. So to that point, I do agree with what he was saying.
Okay, and now let's talk a little bit about marketing new crops. Soybeans, Ellen Dearden, this is going to be a problem for farmers. They've made a number of sales up front, 30, 40, maybe as much as 50%. However, that leaves something between 70 and 50% of a crop at a much lower price tag. Anything that they can do?
I'm going to tell you, the bean basis to the river for fall delivery has really fallen apart, and it's extremely disappointing situation. I think the end user ownership on beans is pretty good, and for that reason, they feel there's no reason to improve basis even with this big break in the board. Old crop bushels of beans, I think, are mostly gone, although I keep hearing people call me with an extra 1,000 or 2 or 3 or 10 bushels of beans to sell. My pat answer has really been move them now because the basis is going to be worse. There's probably be some basis improvement in the December-January time frame. I think we may be looking at selling some beans for that delivery and actually putting them into storage.
Chuck Shelby, your thoughts?
Well, the possibility of a resolution to the tariffs as we go forward would lead me to believe that there are opportunities in beans. But I think if your producer has to sell beans, I would look at some kind of a re-ownership strategy because eventually, as we've talked, either the Chinese need to buy more beans to make up the difference or the tariffs get resolved. So if we have to move them for cash purposes or no storage space, I'd prefer to be, you know, in a re-ownership position.
And Brian Stark, your bean sales.
I think on the bean side of thing, to me, I guess I'm not in the camp of necessarily selling anything unless you need cash or you have nowhere to store them. I do think one thing I'd like to point out to the producer that leverages his risk management plan with an 85% RP crop insurance policy, your price trigger point at your APH with February average today at 85% coverage is 860 November futures. So if we do have a resolution and we potentially rally into the month of October, your insurance indemnity changes, you risk that payout not being there, given if we set our lows in July. So I've been encouraging some of our customers to look at protecting that with some upside call features. And I think that's something that producers should consider if we feel like the bean market could eventually stabilize or even rally after we get some of these political issues resolved.
Let's get a final word from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Chuck Shelby, from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Well, we're in store for some volatile times as we move forward. Producer flexibility, as always, is important. I think, again, the record corn crop potential needs to be addressed by producers as we work our way towards harvest.
Ellen Dearden from Ag Review in Morton, Illinois.
I think we need to watch this U.S. dollar pretty carefully. It's been inching higher. That does not seem to bode well for the export business of our commodities.
And Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign.
I think with the record-breaking crop, producers need to really seriously contemplate selling on rallies the remaining old crop bushels so that they're not staying long both crops here as we look forward to the next step of our marketing plan with the 2018 crop coming at us.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can hear the whole of the program there at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.